The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerate.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. Send a message. Aaron will read it. Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And you can also watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. And I think a lot of people saying Twitter is down. I have not been able to get my notifications. I guess nobody is. So missed the first hour. A lot of sports. Keeping you up to date with the Astros, who are tied 1-1, pitching change. And we'll football talk, as usual. We'll have some college football talk. Brad Powers, talk a little gambling with you at 5:30. And then Taylor McCarg at 6. So, and we'll, of course, keep you up to date on the Astros so you can hear over on 92.5 if you wish to go listen. And sorry, on the Twitch was asking what happened to my Apple laptop. It's in a box on the way to Apple to get fixed for $500.
Man. You have the worst laptop look.
I know. Well, it's this one. That one's been great up until it went out like in March, and it was still under warranty, so that got fixed for free. And then this time, Sunday morning, I get up. I'm going to write my sports map. We get set up to write my sports map column on the Texans, and nothing. Wouldn't turn on. Did all the tests, and the guy said, "Okay, just pay us $500, and we'll send a Jeez. Box for you." And I'm like, oh, well, I find it interesting that you know how much it costs.
Like they put a time delay fuse on there. They fixed yeah. it the first time.
Yeah. So if it winds up being exactly that much money, I'm going to know they're out to get me because I'm paranoid that way. But I mean, that thing served me very well. And you know, this is fine. I don't want to have to use it for more than a week or so. So I don't think it takes that long once they get it because it didn't last time. It was like they told me it would take 5 days and it took like 3. So it's just a matter of the package being delivered and them getting it fixed and me having it back. Hopefully by Monday. I'm gonna set Tuesday at 2:00 as the over under.
Okay.
But I there's little things I already miss though, like being able to text people from my Mac because I hate using text on my phone and so I tend to ignore a lot of them. But when they pop up on my Mac, I'll respond right away. But you know, and all my passwords and stuff. So, Seth, are you a rocket scientist? I'm glad you guys remembered that. Are you a rocket scientist? Well, you can be. That was with Dell, though. This is an HP Chromebook, which is, you know, as close as I could get to a MacBook without spending $2,000. Looks like out of the inning here.
Paredes.
Paredes. So how long... I think he can go a little bit longer, right?
Except didn't he pitch yesterday? Or was he the day before?
I think he was the day before.
Okay. It's hard to keep track when they play every day.
Yeah, when they play every day, it is tough.
And that's something that's kind of different, too, from a pitching standpoint. That, I mean, you can't bring guys back as fast as you could in a regular series. So, like in a regular series, you would have had a day off. It would have been a Framber day.
Yeah.
But.
Hey, the number on this Texans-Titans game continues to push towards the Texans. And I get that the Titans are going to be on a short week, a very short week. Tuesday, they play on Tuesday. They're back on Sunday. But they're at home. They stayed at home the whole time, so they don't have any travel, which makes it a short week easier. It went from 5.5 now down to a lot of just Titans -3.
Yeah, that's too much. I think, yeah, at 5.5, I kind of like the Texans a little bit. I think they can keep it close. But once you get to 3, I think I might be on Titan. And I get why people are betting it that way because you look at from the Titans' perspective, you're looking at a 1-4 Texans team. I know they're a division opponent, but you're not too impressed with them, right?
You just
you're
came off your biggest
coming win off of your season. Biggest win of the season, and guess who you have the week after that? The Steelers, which will be another high profile game.
That's what we call a sandwich.
It is, and so I think that's why the money's going that way. And I also think there'll be a little bit of a bounce on the Titans' perspective, simply because you were completely rested going into that, and they were a lot better coming off that break than I thought they would be. Those are all the factors that I think are pushing it there. It doesn't make me think that the Texans have any chance of beating the Titans, and I think they could keep it close.
My big concern is Derrick Henry, when you think back to what Dalvin Cook did to this Texans team, and now you place Derrick Henry in that spot, it's like, oh, it could get ugly. There are some things the Texans are doing well, though. And, you mentioned him the other day. Bradley Roby's been playing well. And yeah. Bradley Roby, he's the only player in the NFL who's shadowed the same receiver on every play this season. So he follows the best receiver. Didn't do that last season when A.J. Brown ate the Texans' heads both games.
Yeah.
But he will be shadowing A.J. Brown. Maybe he's able to limit that damage. And with the Titans' second-best receiver has coronavirus, maybe they – another thing that scares me, though, about the Titans is Jonnu Smith.
Well, that was the other name I was about to mention, because the Texans never have a solution for a tight end. And this guy's good. I think people don't realize just how talented that Smith is. And I don't know who's going to cover them. And they were better against the run last week, but that was against the Jaguars' offensive line. That is not the Titans' offensive line. That's why it's so hard for me to say, you know what, they were better against the run. Well, yeah, they were, but then how often did the Jags run in the second half when they were down?
Right.
It looked a lot like some of the early Texans games, and we talked about that. But I do think, yeah, I understand why the line's going that way. But I also believe because there's a lot of familiarity here, the Titans will be fine. I don't want to give up 5.5 points with them, because I do think it could be a field goal game. But I might give up 3. So I don't know. But I am surprised by that. There were a couple lines that kind of surprised me. And I think, coming off the bye, I'm a little surprised the Packers are only like 1.5 over the Bucks. The way that team was playing going into the break,
it's very odd to me too.
Okay, so I'm not out of line with that, right?
No, and I know a lot of sharp dudes who are like, "Oh yeah, I'm on the Bucks this week," and I don't get it. And some of these people have gone as far to tell me, "Well, yeah, they're going to be playing down in the humidity in Tampa." Like, dude, it's going to be like high 70s.
Yeah, this is not.
That's where everyone wants to play. Yeah,
this isn't what it would have been in August.
But most, the most odd thing is the Bucks opening at -3, which I'm just going to go ahead and say that was a bad number.
Yeah,
the Bucks opening at -3 is a mistake number.
Unfortunately, so, none of my sites actually let me bet it at that.
So the line move is less of a concern to me, because Packers -1 feels kind of like what the line should be. Packers -1 at Tampa, because I think Packers are probably about 2.5 points better than Tampa. And when you factor in home field advantage, you get to Packers -1. I mean, I didn't get Packers +3.
I wish I had.
I guess I also have the concern that the Packers are a zone defense. They almost play exclusively zone defense, and it's not fun to bet against Tom Brady when you're going with a team that plays zone. Just like same with Breeze, those are guys. They're zone killers.
Right.
They do. So I'm not in love with that aspect. And the Packers defense is questionable.
Yeah.
What I do like, though, is the reason the Bucs defense has been so good this year, and it is very good, is because you can't run on them. The good news for the Packers is they don't care.
Yeah.
They're not looking to run the ball on you. They're looking for short passes so they can set up big plays. And getting Davante Adams back, I think, is a big deal for them. I'm with you. If I had to take a side on that, I like the Packers. The other line move that's the one that's really boggled my mind, it's gone through, it went from +3 to now -3.5, is the Rams.
Yeah.
Why the Rams are 3.5 point favorites on the road. I get that the you know, there's some things going on with the Niners health wise. Jimmy Garoppolo looks like he's a full go this week. And listen, I like the Rams too. I like what I've seen out of the Rams. The thing to remember is the Rams, who are 4-1 now, they basically got beheaded with in the first half. They were getting beheaded by Buffalo. A couple bad calls.
Yeah.
And it got them back in the game. I guess I give them some credit. They played the Bills close on the road. Kudos. Their four wins are against the NFC East. So they're 4-1 because they've swept the Cowboys, the Eagles, the football team, and the Giants.
Right.
Who have a combined
two and a half. Two wins and a tie.
Three wins and a tie, yeah. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
Dallas
three wins.
Has two now.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't good. They've beaten no one that's good. And not only that, it's not like they stomped the Giants. It's not like they stomped the Cowboys. They, you know, those were the Cowboys game. They could have easily lost.
Yeah.
Probably should have lost. And that was at home. I don't know if the 49ers are maybe being a little disrespected here.
They're coming off a really bad performance, but I also think that's contributing to the line here.
I think so too.
Even if they lost a close game, I don't think it's outside of three.
Now, I'll also agree that the 49ers, if they didn't play, their two wins are the Jets and the Giants.
Right.
So if they lost to Miami, they lost to Philly, and they lost to Arizona. They've lost to some bad teams. But I think at home, it's just hard for me to say that the Niners should be outside of a field goal dogs against this Rams team.
The other one that I already bet, there's a off the wall. So does that get you runners second and third? How many outs?
Zero.
Nobody out.
Zero.
Okay, Astros.
That was Machete.
The other one that I already bet and was Dolphins -7.5 against the Jets. It's gone to 10, which, I mean, to me, I'm going to keep fading the Jets. 10's getting a little scary.
Yeah, my site still has it at 9.5. I think 9.5 is about the average. I never saw a 7.5. I saw, like, the worldwide open said 8.5. So if you got a 7.5, then God bless you.
Yeah. Well, it was like Monday that I got 7.5.
Okay.
Or what's today? Thursday. It might have been Tuesday night when I was on there.
Okay. So I that never popped on my site. So if you got that, congratulations. I don't think you'll see that again. But yeah, this is the game where Vegas is most lopsided on, like,
right.
They need the Jets to cover desperately, which when that's the case, I don't want to be on that game.
Right.
Because if the Jets lose by 10, it's going to be a real bad week for the bookmakers. Yep. And they've had a couple already this season. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but that's the kind of game that I look to steer clear from, a game where the entire public is going to be on the Dolphins. Nobody wants to have a Jets ticket right now.
Right. All right. But sometimes, though, that's the right side.
Can be.
Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and not on 92.5 because that's Astros.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Astros now up 3-1 after a Michael Brantley single. So Altuve at the plate and see if they can keep it going. Somebody... I did see this story. Did you see that Houston area Reynolds and Reynolds CEO Bob Brockman was indicted for $2 billion in tax fraud?
Oof.
Largest individual tax fraud case in U.S. history.
So far.
I mean, it's early. It's 2020. That's got to get topped, right? So, And Beaumont Thomas, but they got to bring back Brantley and Springer next year. I'd like to see them do that. I don't know. Brantley, I think you can get on the same kind of deal you did last time. I think if I were a betting man, I'll say he'll be back next year.
Okay.
I'd like Springer to be back. I just don't know that. I don't know that they're not going to get outbid big time on him. But again, it depends on the market. Yeah, and it's interesting how. I'll be interested to see how NBA free agency goes because, boy, most of these hockey deals that were getting signed, teams were really, you know, looking to the fact that the salary cap's about to take a serious hit.
Yeah.
And, like, the best free agent out there is a guy named Taylor Hall who was playing for Arizona.
Former number one overall pick, right?
Signed a one-year deal with the Sabres for $8 million. That's a guy who last year would have got 10.5 probably. He would have got Austin Matthews money. And so now, though, he's kind of gambling that 2022 will be better in terms of money. So he just did a one-year deal, and he goes out and has a big year, and maybe everybody's back in 2022. I think you're going to see that with all these sports. And so it's interesting to me how the leagues are going to handle the free agency, especially. And I don't know who the biggest NBA free agent is this year. But NBA at least is a little easy because, you know, you have a max deal for the best guys.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if guys like Fred VanVleet, here's a name for you, who they were throwing around $20 million a year for him. Do you think he's going to get that?
I don't know.
I just wonder, right?
I mean, NBA guys get so much more than I think they should anyway. I mean, it's...
Well, yeah, you get mediocre guys getting ridiculous contracts. So... And a friend of mine points out that Maldonado was a guy on second, so that's probably why he wound up being as close as
he
was.
But it did look like I think they thought Meadows thought that there was going to be a cut, and the cut let it go, which maybe have been the only chance to get him. But
Looked like he was lollipopping it in because Maldonado was three steps from third at the time.
Yeah.
So, hey. You know what? Nice to see another team make a mistake. How have those gone so far, Aaron? Yeah. You don't have to answer that. We know. 713-780-ESPN is your number. So
boy, I'm looking at the free agents right now.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis.
Double play. I'm assuming he goes back to the Lakers.
I would assume so as well.
Inning over, but the Astros up 3-1.
Maybe, Gordon Hayward, Paul Millsap, DeMar DeRozan.
God, is there any of those that, I mean.
Serge Ibaka. I mean.
Nice players, but I don't think those guys.
Goran Dragic.
Yeah.
He could be helpful for somebody.
But do you pay that level guy that kind of money? In these uncertain times,
I wouldn't. I, looking at this list, there's Andre Drummond's an interesting one. There's a player option on him just because he's so great defensively, such a great rebounder. But there's a lot of guys that I'd say, well, I hope somebody else signs them to a max deal because I don't want to. Besides Anthony Davis, obviously.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he went anywhere.
Oh, I would too.
And I think they want to try to win a couple more. 713-780-ESPN's the number, 713-780-3776. But I do think, and this is something that I kind of was bringing up early in this crisis, was that this is going to change how teams have to build their rosters because the salary cap is not going to be where it is. And you know, they're looking at next year. Okay, so you're thinking Martin Luther King Day. You'll be able to – that's what the NBA is looking at starting.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to have full capacity by then. So you're not going to make as much money on that. You already lost the China money. You're not going to have as much revenue. There's no way. You can't tell me right now with any amount of certainty that the first week of February of next year, you'll be able to have a full building.
I don't think he can.
I don't think it's going to happen. I haven't
seen anything that makes me think we're going in that direction.
No, I think we're going the opposite direction. So you're looking at a quarter capacity probably, maybe half. Maybe you're at half by then. I don't know. But that's, of course, for the Rockets. It's, you know, those the other half of the people don't go, even go until the game's the second quarter. But that's half your revenue lost on that. Still have your TV revenue, but and it's going to be the same thing. Like hockey, they're talking about doing an all-Canadian division for 1 year because Canada has no intention of opening the border to us for, I mean, at least through the end of the year. And I think it's going to last longer than that.
Maybe the NHL should kick all those Canadian teams out.
Why would you want to do that?
I mean, so either, hey, either.
That's like your biggest audience.
Well, because then your teams can all play.
I mean, I'm not
Make them all move. Move one of them to Houston. You can move the Maple Leafs here.
No, we're not moving the Maple Leafs here. Stop
That'd
that.
That'd be cool, right? You like the Maple Leafs.
I love the Maple Leafs, and they belong in Toronto.
You'd be excited if they were here, though.
But it's.
You'd go watch, right?
Well, of course
you'd
I would.
You'd have season tickets.
But that's, no, boom. They're not.
My idea works.
Stop that. That's communism. But I mean, the idea makes a lot of sense because then you don't have to have travel between the borders. I wonder how that affects a team like the Raptors, though. Because we saw that with the Blue Jays, right? The Blue Jays had to move. I mean, I think even in next February, we may still have these border restrictions. So,
I mean, it seems easy enough. I mean, is it about half and half, the league?
No, there's seven Canadian teams, which you could put them in one division and they just play each other. It works. It doesn't work for basketball because, you know,
only one Canadian
team. Do you move the Raptors to Buffalo, for instance, which you probably would have to do. So,
or just kick the Raptors out of the league.
Raptors
who cares about them at this point? Let's face it.
They got more titles than your beloved Rockets in the last 2 years.
Well, Kawhi's gone. What are they now?
They got farther than your Rockets did.
Well, not my Rockets.
Actually, no, they got the same.
Yeah, same place. That's your Rockets.
Not my
Canada
Rockets.
Start their own basketball league.
Yeah, CBL.
And take back all their Canadian players.
Do it.
Go
Bye.
For it.
Like Andrew Wiggins.
Bye.
How much money is a startup going to be able to pay their players?
Who was the number one pick that was so awful? He was also Canadian.
Anthony Bennett.
Anthony Bennett. You don't want to lose Anthony Bennett.
No. That's true. We can't lose
him. Oh, God.
Jamal Murray's Canadian, though, and he's pretty good now. So they may want to hold on to him.
Say goodbye. No, I think... Brandon Clark,
who I like, is also Canadian. Let's keep him.
But all of this, and somebody's asking to explain the salary cap. It's boring if you try to get into the details of it. But the point is the salary cap is going to be based on league revenue. And, of course, the more money you make, the higher it goes. That way they split all the money. Well, obviously, they lost a ton of money. All the leagues did. I mean, this is consistent across all the leagues. Lost a ton of money this year because you had no fans in the stands. And, I mean, most of the money comes from TV. That's not the case in hockey. I mean, hockey is really reliant on fans. But everybody else, you know, you start taking away 15,000 people a night who are not just paying premiums for tickets, but drinking a lot of beer and eating a lot of food. And if at Toyota Center on that club level, you're probably drinking a lot of expensive mixed drinks at that bar. I'm not speaking for everyone here, just myself, but yeah, I've put up some several $100 tabs there, and people aren't walking by the team shop drunk saying, "Oh man, I want this Rockets jacket." Not that I haven't done that either. But, I mean, that's a lot of money that adds up, and that's a lot of revenue for whatever sport you're in, even baseball. And so that's going to lower the cap numbers, and I think what you're going to see over the next couple of years, well, I think that contract that Taylor Hall took is really interesting because he believes it'll be better in 2022, and he'll still be young enough to get a big deal. And, you know, so he's kind of gambling on himself. And the team is like, hey, yeah, for 1 year, we'd love to have this guy. We haven't made the playoffs since Aaron was born. So, you know, I think you might see that in baseball was kind of my whole point, is you might see a lot of teams saying, hey, man, we don't know what revenue is going to be like. We don't want to give you a five-year deal, George Springer. You may have to take a one-year $25 million deal or something like that. And I think the Astros would do that in a heartbeat too. But if, you know, if you're him, you try to get the best deal you can. I don't know what the market is going to be. Because the teams that spend a lot of money seem to have their players. Like the Dodgers don't need George Springer. Yankees don't really need George Springer. Red Sox has been mentioned, but are they going to spend? Because they've been going the opposite, right? They gave away Mookie Betts. So we'll see how it plays out. I'd like to see him stay here. All right. We are going to take a very quick break. What do I have here? Oh, yeah, this is an easy one to talk about because I didn't wear a hat today just to show off the hair from Dr. Linville. And, guys, if you've been going bald, you don't know what to do, just go see my man, Dr. Linville. Get your free consultation if you go to 975hair.com. Just have him look at it and see what he can do. Because in my case, I was almost completely bald. I was the point I was going to shave it. I'd looked into a whole bunch of other stuff, and it all seemed phony to me and kind of embarrassing. And then I talked to Dr. Linville, and he said, hey, all I'm going to do is take the hair that you still have on the back of your head and move it to the front. That's it. It's going to move your own hair and redraw your hairline. And I did it, and, man, it was so easy. It looks so much better. And he had it done, too, and his hair looks fantastic. So you're going to get a free consultation. And all you have to do is go to 975hair.com. They can do it virtually for you. And if you're still stuck at home, this is a perfect time to get it done because when you go back to work, people will be like, hey, you look different. And you say, yeah, yeah. And you don't have to tell them. You went to ESPN. You went to 975hair.com, mention ESPN, and get your hair back.
Lil CC, let it slap with the bass. I used to save, put a mask in a cave. Now I'm like, nah, love, I'm good, go away. Ain't about to die with no money I done gave you. I was on top when it meant a lot. Still on top like I'm scared.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN's your number. And time for our good friend, college football expert, BradPowerSports.com. Follow him on Twitter at BradPower7. Hence the name, Brad Powers. What's up, buddy?
How are you guys doing on this fine Thursday?
Hanging in, man. How about you?
Can't complain.
Can't complain.
I could, but you guys don't have, I don't think you have enough time in your radio show.
Oh, listen.
Your program.
I mean, truthfully, Brad, we don't care. We're just being friendly. You know that.
yeah.
You know, the COVID world keeps taking things away from us. They take a couple of these college games every week, it seems. Took another one this morning, if I'm not mistaken. Some action got taken away. I mean, are we settling into this is just normalcy now? This is just something you're gonna have to deal with. You might spend a few hours working on a game, and then boom, it's just snatched out from under you.
Yeah, I mean that's in any other year. I mean, we could say devastating. You know, I can't believe that could happen. But I mean, I just say another day, life in 2020, because. I mean, if you're going to anticipate it to all of a sudden go away, I think you're fooling yourself. I think we'll have 3, 4, 5 of these each and every week. And as you add more teams, and just starting next week with the Big Ten and the Mountain West, it's only going to be more. So I would expect, you know, 10% of the games probably each and every week to have some sort of issue.
Yeah, Tulsa was one of the games on my playlist this week and got taken away by the COVID this morning. Obviously, the big game of the week is Georgia at Alabama, and that line opened up Alabama -7. It was hovering around Alabama -6. They didn't have the best performance last week, especially defensively against Ole Miss, but I think Ole Miss is going to make a lot of people look bad on defense. Then the announcement that Nick Saban has the Rona, and now that game is around 4.5, 4 at some books. I mean, obviously, Nick Saban is pretty valuable to the line. But were you surprised to see that move as much as it did? And do you think that that's the right move?
I don't think he's that valuable to the line. I mean, and again, we're just talking one game. I mean, if we're talking you're going to remove him from the entire program for the course of a year or two, then obviously he has significant more worth than a couple of points. But, I mean, it's not like he quit. Got fired. He's no longer there. I mean, he's a part of the game planning process. He's still working. He's not going to be on the sidelines. So, yeah, I think a little bit of an overreaction there in the line. And for me, now I'll say this. This is me the better, of course, when the news broke. I'm going to be like everybody else. I'm going to, you know, take a Georgia ticket because, I mean, you got to play not only the Nick Saban news, but, I mean, if he has it, then, you know, chances are, you know, some players but possibly have it for Alabama. So, yeah, I took a piece of Georgia when the news broke yesterday, but now that it's calming down a little bit, I would lean more towards the Crimson Tide.
One game of particular interest here in Houston is Friday night, BYU coming to town. BYU coming off a not a very good effort in a victory. Houston finally got a game under its belt, and after spotting Tulane 17 points, they basically got it together in the second half and looked like a much improved team. What do you think of that game? It's gotten up to 5.5 now. I've seen it bounce around quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm a little stunned at where it opened up at. I was expecting to bet Houston, but I thought the line would come 7.5 BYU. I mean, I've been lower on BYU in the marketplace the last couple of weeks, and significantly I've had some of my biggest power ratings disparities have been BYU games. But yet, I mean, my pure power rating on this game has BYU 7. So when I saw 3 on Sunday at the world opener here in Vegas, I mean, I wanted to bet BYU at that number, even though I came in thinking that Houston was going to be one of my top plays of the week. But I'll see where it ends up settling. Guys, right now, I really don't have a bet. I do think, generally speaking, BYU is going to struggle with Houston speed. But, again, I think that's factored in and priced into the number right now.
This is one of the games where I feel, you know, I don't know if I'll end up having a ticket on it because I obviously haven't gotten the best of the number. But this North Carolina-Florida State game, they opened it at North Carolina minus 9.5. I think that's just a bad number to open with. I think that the number is probably settling in around where it should be, 13.5. I feel like North Carolina offensively, especially after I saw them break out a little bit last week offensively, with what I've seen of Florida State, they're going to have zero answer for North Carolina. Florida State looks like they're just in total shambles. Do you like a side on this game, or are you like me and the number's just gotten to where it's not interesting anymore?
It was very interesting to me. I can do you better than 9.5. I have minus 8 and minus 9 tickets in my pocket. So
what a life.
I am comfortable with those, but at the current number, because that doesn't help the listeners. Listeners don't want to hear what I bet 5 days ago.
No,
but,
neither do I.
No, they don't. I would still lean North Carolina. I do think bad matchup. I mean, you saw Notre Dame run all over Florida State to the tune. 353 rushing yards. What North Carolina do to Virginia Tech last week? Well, they ran for 399 yards, most for North Carolina in a game since 1993. So, again, bad matchup for Florida State. And also keep in mind, their quarterback came up gimpy a little bit as far as his hand went at the end of the game. And Travis has been a big reason why Florida State has at least looked competent offensively the last couple weeks. So, if he's not 100%, another negative factor for the Noles. Lean Tar Heels for me.
Another game that I'm a little interested in, A&M minus 5 against Mississippi State at Mississippi State. The Aggies with maybe their biggest win of the whole Jimbo Fisher era last week. So it might be a little bounce factor there. But what the hell happened to Mississippi State? I mean, that team can't score.
Well, I mean, teams started playing, dropping 8 in coverage. Didn't do what LSU did and start, play man defense the whole game. Even without your All-American cornerback, Derek Stingley, I mean, that's just a horribly poorly coached LSU team. I mean, last two opponents against Mississippi State did what you're supposed to do. I mean, drop 8 in coverage and let Mississippi State beat you underneath, nothing over the top. So, I mean, that's why the Bulldogs are struggling. A tough game for me. The spot says Mississippi State's probably the play. Pure power rating for me says, A&M probably it should be worthy of a bet, but let me ask you guys this, and I haven't asked anybody yet in my radio tour for the week. I don't understand this. Vanderbilt played A&M. Vanderbilt's got COVID issues. Alabama played A&M. Saban's got COVID, and who knows if anybody else has COVID for Alabama. Florida just played Texas A&M. Florida's got COVID issues. How the hell does Texas A&M not have any COVID issues? I'm trying to figure that out.
Not to mention, they had a bunch of guys in the stands.
Yeah.
Like more than they were supposed to have in the stands. So, I'm not sure how they've avoided it.
The Rona just doesn't come to Texas. That's what it is.
The heat will burn it right away, Brad. It burned it right away. It's like it never was here. Brad, one of the games, speaking of Texas, we'll stay there. UTSA, a team that made me some money last week against BYU. They've got Army, and they are an underdog again. You know how I feel when I can find Army as a favorite. I like to try to fade them. And the fact that UTSA was able to go to BYU and hold up against those grown-ass men and still have a pretty good success right there, could have maybe even won that game. What do you think of UTSA? What's changed for them? And what do you think of that matchup with Army?
So I'm with you. I lean UTSA, although I wasn't, you know, particularly thrilled with the comments that the first-year head coach, Jeff Traylor, is doing a really good job there this year. The way he was saying, you know, how they're going to prepare for Army this week didn't give me a lot of confidence. I mean, he was treating it more like this could be a really tough matchup for them. They're coming off two physical games against UAB and BYU, and they got, you know, it seemed to me, and again, that's just me reading the tea leaves. Maybe I'm reading them wrong, but he's more focused about their upcoming conference schedule. So that worries me as far as prepping against the option. Army's quarterback situation didn't look good at the start of the week. Looks a little bit better now. Looks like Jones and maybe even Christian Anderson, their starter, is going to come back. But, you know, I'm kind of with you. Army's poor as a favorite. We saw that last week. You got to give, you know, Traylor credit for UTSA as an underdog this year. They're 3-0 with an average cover of 16 points per game, and they've been respectable defending the run so far. So, yeah, if you're going to give me the hook, give me the home dog here.
Let's go to one more formerly atrocious Texas team that now looks like maybe they've got a little bit of life in them, UTEP. Three wins this season already. I mean, this is it's a whole new team here in UTEP. They opened at +3.5, pushed up to +6.5 at home against Southern Miss. I don't know why. Southern Miss is awful from what I've seen. I don't understand the move, and I get that UTEP is, it's not like they're actually good all of a sudden, but I saw this Southern Miss team just get humiliated by Tulane, and, you know, UTEP was in it in this game last week. It feels like UTEP's playing some good football now. Why is the number pushing towards Southern Miss?
Just a bad line as far as the pure power rating. Again, I got Southern Miss -1 on Sunday, so I'm happy with that one. Let's just start talking lines here. I mean, and it's not like these teams have played 8, 9, 10 games. We got to go back 3 months ago. But, I mean, Southern Miss was laying 7 to La Tech. And forget the results for a second. Let's just look at it. Southern Miss was laying 7 to La Tech. So, at least going into that game, Vegas perceived Southern Miss to be better than La Tech. Last week, UTEP played La Tech. They were getting 14 points.
Right.
So, to me, just look comparing lines. That's why the money's coming on Southern Miss. Not saying that there's a value now. In fact, I'm hoping it goes to 7 because I will play back UTEP, and I think they'll end up being the right side here. But early number is just a bad number. Southern Miss deserved to be a bigger favorite.
One more tomorrow night, SMU at Tulane, SMU -6.5. I've been really impressed with SMU so far. And, you know, I hate to be on the square side of this, but having watched both these teams pretty closely, I think SMU, especially coming off a win over Memphis and some time off, I like SMU a lot. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Injuries. I mean, TJ McDaniel, they split carries between their two running backs. They still got a very capable guy, but TJ McDaniel is out for the year for them. And then, you know, I think one of the better wide receivers in the country that nobody knows about, Reggie Roberson's out for the season. I mean, he came up limping in the last game against Memphis. I mean, he had 250 yards in 3 quarters. I mean, he was putting on a show, and he's out for the season. So I think that's probably the reason why this line is probably 1.5 or 2 points lower in the marketplace than what a lot of people are thinking. But I'm not going to recommend a Tulane bet. Here's what I recommend. I mean, get in this one live because Tulane is it's almost Halloween. If you're going to ask me what the Jekyll and Hyde team of the season is, it's Tulane. This is a Tulane team so far this year in 4 games. They have 2 double-digit blown deficits in games. Significant ones that they've blown, including last week against Houston. And they also had 2 double-digit come-from-behind wins against South Alabama and also Southern Miss. So, I mean, if you want a juicy number on this one, I'd say wait until the game kicks off on Friday.
This Arkansas-Ole Miss line is very curious to me. Arkansas has won. They've won a conference game this year. They beat Mississippi State. That was the first conference game that they've won since they won one conference game in 2017. And they, you know, they should have won against Auburn last week. I felt bad for them, actually. But now we're to the point where Ole Miss, who I just saw give Alabama hell It's now a 1.5 point to 2 point game in a lot of places. Why is Arkansas getting so much respect all of a sudden? And I'll say this about Auburn. I think that's more of an Auburn issue than it is an Arkansas thing. I think Auburn's just not very good.
I agree with you. That's why I bet against Auburn this week. COVID, the issues at Ole Miss. Those are the rumors that are flying. They're not, you know, saying specifically who, but it looks like it could be significant for Ole Miss. So if you're wondering why this line continues to drop, that is the reason. Rumors are flying that Ole Miss is dealing with some of my COVID issues.
So again, something that we're just going to have to manage all year. And tell us about your handicap on this Auburn South Carolina game. What's making you like the Cox there?
Well, I like how you said that, but
he just likes saying that.
Yeah, I do like that. I'm not going to say it like you, but I did bet South Carolina plus the points here. I think it's more of a play against Auburn. I haven't liked what I've seen from Auburn. I know they're 2-1. I haven't liked what I've seen in any of their three games. I thought they were fortunate in the Kentucky game because of turnovers by Kentucky. I think Georgia, if they wanted to, could have beaten Auburn by 5 touchdowns. I thought they were very kind to Auburn in the second half of that game. And then last week, you know, Auburn benefited from a controversial call at the end. And then keep in mind, Arkansas missed an early extra point, started playing catch-up the rest of the game, and missed two-point conversions. So, I mean, Arkansas probably should have won that game. On the flip side, I know they haven't been overwhelming, but South Carolina played the expectation against Tennessee. You know, 4-point dog, lost by 4, could have won the game. Florida game, they're at the goal line late. They could have punched that in and lost by 7. That would have been a good performance. And I get it, Vanderbilt sucks, but guess what? South Carolina did what you should do against Vanderbilt. They crushed them. So, you know, I think South Carolina wins that game outright.
All right, that's Brad Powers. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. Check out his work at BradPowersSports.com. Joins us every Thursday and always brings a genius to it. Brad, great stuff as always. Look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, sounds good. Take care, guys.
All righty. Rays hit a homer, 3-2 Astros. We'll take a quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Like a friend of mine.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I think I need help. I'm drowning in myself.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz.
Hot in here now.
Yeah, it is a little hot in here. Only one out in the fifth, and Scrub now on to pitch for your Astros. He's got two runners to deal with, or one?
Two.
First and second with one out. So Astros still up 3-2. And breaking news, Le'Veon Bell to the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know why I hate that?
Why?
Because I am a Clyde Edwards-Helaire owner. I don't need competition there. I don't need that.
Well, I actually think it's a good signing. I mean, that you've got a guy there that you already trust and like, and you know they having two effective running backs just makes the Chiefs that much more dangerous if you get good Le'Veon Bell. Plus, that's a guy who's going to fit that offense. So, yeah, I think, sorry for your loss there.
Yeah.
But, there's where Le'Veon Bell goes. All right, guess what we're going to do?
Did he clear waivers?
I'm sure he did. Nobody wants to pick up.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Nobody's going to pick up that contract, yeah. I don't have any details yet. That just happened. So, we know he's going to the Chiefs. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. I had a bunch of them to choose from, but I'm going to do a little, we'll do a little movie history here. Probably one of the more famous scenes in a comedy is the Bob Barker fight scene in Happy Gilmore. Yeah. Would you agree?
Agreed.
Yeah. Everybody knows that scene.
Price is wrong, bitch.
Apparently, Bob Barker was not the first choice. When they wrote it, they wanted Ed McMahon. And apparently, Ed McMahon, who's probably dead now, I'm guessing.
He is dead.
Yeah. Was so disinterested, he didn't even respond.
What?
Yeah. And then so they got in touch with Bob Barker, and Barker said he would do it as long as he got to win the fight.
Good deal.
Yeah. And, I mean, it worked out better.
Yeah,
I mean, the scene wouldn't have been as much fun if he doesn't get his ass kicked by an old man. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen a 25-year-old movie. But, so, yeah, they wound up getting Bob Barker for that. And it's funny because we instantly think of that scene, and that's the first thing I think, the price is wrong, bitch.
And then hearing Bob Barker say bitch back to him.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently,
bitch.
Barker was so into it. He was training with, his neighbor to get in shape, who happened to be Chuck Norris.
Of course it is.
It's always Chuck Norris. So I thought that was a fun story. And that was your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Somebody asked, Chiefs minus 209 or take the 4 points? I'm taking the 4 points, I think. I don't know. It's too early to think about that game. I haven't gotten that far ahead. I had to redo some stuff because of the cancellations.
Well, Bell has to go through 5 days of
COVID. I mean, he's not so going to.
He's not eligible.
He's not going to make any impact on that game, even if he were going to be.
Not
there.
This week.
So, so it doesn't impact anything.
I wanted the Bills in that game, but now I'm less apt to take them after the.
That's my lean. I think again, that score looked a lot worse than that game was because they made some stupid mistakes that they hadn't made all year.
Yep.
And you know, I think it's also at Buffalo, but I'm not ready to even look at that one yet. I gotta. Got to get through the next couple days here. Yep. I'll have something for you tomorrow by then, but I haven't run Mondays yet. So there's a base hit. And does that load the bases now with one out?
No, there's only one on.
Oh, okay. So you were wrong.
Yes, I was.
You lied to me, son. How dare you? So two on, one out. Is that the deal?
Two
now?
On, two out.
Two out.
Oh, two outs. Okay. Yeah.
What are we in, the fifth?
Yeah, bottom of the fifth, or top of the fifth, excuse me.
Okay.
Again, confused by, just for some reason, every single game, I think the Astros are the visitors.
That's because you see them not in Minute Maid.
Yeah, and so I just utterly confused by that, but that's all right. Plus, I don't really listen to the broadcast. I even when I'm home, I do what we're doing here.
Right.
There's no sound, so that tends to confuse me as well. Because I'm old, and that happens. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. We'll have Taylor up next. I kind of want to, because I need one of you guys to answer this for me. Nobody's been able to explain to me what the hell's going on with the University of Texas. Maybe Taylor can. Yeah, because
he's living there in Austin. He should have a good feel for it.
Because, and we talked about this, I guess, probably Tuesday. Maybe it was Monday. I look at that team and I see the talent that's there, and I'm just like, why can't they? I mean, they shouldn't be losing, almost losing to Texas Tech. They shouldn't be losing to TCU. They have better talent than Oklahoma this year. I believe that.
If the stuff, you know, like the Eyes of Texas stuff, like where Sam Ehlinger's out there with the coaches and all the other players are inside, I wonder if that's creating division on that team.
Wouldn't surprise me.
So something we can talk to them about, certainly.
All right, let's take a quick break. Be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Now in your absence, I will heed
to the course of lonely lost. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.